Romans chapter 9. Title of the message is The Purpose of God According to Election. The Purpose of God According to Election. Aren't you glad that there is a purpose of God according to election? Yeah, I certainly am. And every Arminian preacher must either flatly deny that there is a purpose of God according to election, or else pervert the doctrine to hide it from the eyes of his hearers. And that's the last thing I want to do. And I want you to read along with me and to study along with me. And to see it, I'd like for us all to see, because I want you to know the truth. Mm-hmm. I want to know the truth myself. I'm headed for this judgment. Not this one, but I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Mm-hmm. And all true believers at that time will be acquitted. They've already been acquitted. They've been justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Israel shall be searched for sin, and there shall be none. And there will be no accusations against us in that day, because we are rested in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his shed blood, in his righteousness, in that and that alone. We're not bringing anything else with us. We don't have anything else to offer. It wasn't by our doings that we came to him. It wasn't by anything that was ever of us that were in Christ Jesus. It is the work of God alone that has caused us to flee from the wrath to come, to lay hold on this gospel that by nature we despise, cannot hear, hate it like the rest of the world. But now we're brought to a place to where it is precious to us. And we know that it's the only way. There is no other way except being in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way to be in the Lord Jesus Christ is by the Father's election of grace. Not an election of merit, not of any good thing that we ever done, but an election of free grace, the free, unmerited gift of God.
Amen.
When this whole ball of wax is all wound up, it's going to be just exactly as the Father determined before he set the first star in its socket.
Amen.
It'll be according to his determinate counsel.
Yeah.
Everything that happened between the eternities will be according, and has been according, to his sovereign appointment and will.
Amen.
Every mistake you ever made, that was ordained. Every sin you ever committed, that was too. And with me, I had to be redeemed, had to be purchased. And therefore, there had to be a Redeemer, and he had to redeem from something, and that was sin. He rescued me from the guilt and penalty of sin. Because of his finished work, I'm just not guilty. No believer is in the eyes of God. Look at Romans 9, 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now I know that we all have similar feelings. We'd like for all of our family to believe and to worship our God. because we know He's the only true and living God. But folks, that is not the way it is. It's just not. The Lord will have whom He has elected, and nobody else. That's just the way it's going to be. And it is infinite wisdom that has purposed it to be that way. It is God, according to He satisfied every attribute of His character in His election of grace. So it is infinite wisdom, justice, love, mercy, grace, judgment that is satisfied by His election. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the Father, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God, blessed forever. That's who Christ is. He is over all God, blessed forever. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect. Now, somebody might say, well, if all these promises are to Israel, why isn't Israel chief of the nations? Well, back in Isaiah, He said they've broken the everlasting covenant. They've broken the law. But it's not as though the word of God had taken none effect, as though the word of God, the promise of God, had been thwarted. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Look at Galatians 6:16. Galatians 6:16. And we'll begin our reading at verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Now that Israel of God is the Israel that is referred to in here in Romans. But look back at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on the seed of Abraham, that is the Israel of God. We are the lineage, the spiritual lineage of Abraham is the election of grace. That's who they are. They are the sons and daughters of Abraham by faith. One more place, look at Galatians 3:7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. All right. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. But they are the Israel of God, which are the spiritual seed of Abraham, and that's believers, by faith. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, That is, they're not all children of the covenant of grace. They're not all the children of God who are the natural seed of Abraham. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Now Ishmael was born before Isaac, and Ishmael was the son of Abraham, but he wasn't of the election of grace. He was not of the Israel of God, though he were a son of Abraham. And then after the birth of Isaac, Abraham had sons by Keturah, whom he married, and I believe he's about 125 years old when he married her, and she bore children. So, though Abraham had many sons, he had only one son in the elect line, or only one son who was a son of promise, and that was Isaac. And the promise was made that at this time I will return, and Sarah, at the age of 90, was to have a son, which is altogether contrary and above nature. And Sarah and Abraham was 99. Back to Romans 9. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Now, it wasn't because of Abraham's ability to give seed, nor was it of Sarah's ability to receive seed and to conceive a child. But it was because of the power of God that rested on them both that they were given this ability to conceive a child in the womb of her that had been barren. And it had ceased with her after the manner of women. So that it was a natural, physical impossibility for them to generate children. But at the time, the mystery came to pass that God enabled them to bear children. Now Adam, in his creation, and according to his purpose, was not complete in himself. It took Eve with him to conceive and replenish the earth. So the purpose of God, according to election, is demonstrated in this child. We are unable in ourselves to believe and to love and obey the gospel. But according to the purpose of God, according to election, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world was made, we are enabled to cleave to and love this gospel, as it is the gospel of election, gospel of redemption, and the gospel of an effectual call, involving all three members of the Trinity. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise: at that time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, these two boys were conceived by the same father in the same womb. Their birth was at the same time. But one was of the election of grace and the other was not. And the firstborn was not of the election of grace, but Esau was a man of the earth. Yeah. He was a man's man. Jacob was a wimp. But God had chose Jacob. Yeah. Set his love on him before the foundation of the world. Jacob was a slanderer. He wasn't a model citizen at all. He was a conniver, a schemer. And all of those things, and yet God, according to his own purpose and grace, had set his love upon Jacob. Now we're all nigh kin to Jacob. We're all a bunch of Jacobs in ourselves. And we're the same character. We don't have anything whatsoever to boast in. We're not elected, and we don't believe because we're smarter or anything about us than anybody else. But it pleased God to choose us in Christ. He set his love on us before the foundation of the world, and he thought on us in eternity past. So, the children being not yet born, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Look at Ephesians 3, 3:11. And let's back up and begin reading at verse 9. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. The mystery of the gospel. Ezekiel, go out in the middle of a valley of dry bones. Dead. Completely dead. Bleached out by the sun. No moisture about them at all. Completely dried up, completely, absolutely, totally, irrevocably, naturally, dead. Yeah. And preach to them. Go out there all by yourself and stand there in the midst of that valley of dry bones and say, "Oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Now, if you're standing in the midst of a congregation of unregenerate men, you're Ezekiel standing in the midst of a bunch of dry bones. And they can't hear you. They cannot hear you. But the mystery comes in there. God breathes upon whom he will the breath of life. The Lord Jesus Christ quickeneth, makes alive whom he will, and he does it by the sound of the gospel, the joyful sound. And to them that hear, it is a joyful sound. Let's begin reading here, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Angels will marvel at the wisdom of God in the redemption of his people. How he came up with the means whereby he might gather to himself those whom the law had cast out. And remain just and the justifier of him that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ. that he might make known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, look back at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. And then look over at chapter 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, it is the display of his wisdom, his mercy, and grace that he purposed in Christ Jesus to make manifest to all the angels and all of the church and all these things by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So that's the eternal purpose, or at least that's one of the eternal purposes. I certainly would not seek to exhaust the meaning of that scripture with just those few words. back to Romans 9. And not only this, but Rebekah also, when she conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Now, when did God choose us? Well, it's before we'd done any good or evil. Is before the foundation of the world. He chose us at the same time he chose Jacob. And for the same reason, his own sovereign will and purpose. And we can't escape that. And we don't want to. I'm glad that when the church enters into heaven, it'll be according to the purpose of God, because I wouldn't want to go there without his purpose. Would you? I wouldn't. It'll be his purpose to bring everyone who arrives there into his presence. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Verse 22. For it is written, Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he that was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he that was of the free woman is by promise. Now, we're all children of promise. It's by the power of the promise. It's by the covenant of God that we believe the gospel. And that shows us to be children of the promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Agar, or Hagar, the Egyptian, who was Sarah's handmaid. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. That is, she symbolizes Mount Sinai in Arabia, which is of the flesh and works the law, sin, and death. They're all connected together. And answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all who believe the gospel. For it is written, Rejoice thou barren that bearest not. Now in the early days of the church, there were at one point there were about 120 disciples, and I mean, they were surrounded by thousands of people who were worshiping God according to the law. So their prospect was very bad, very dim, and their situation was desolate. But then the Lord began to add to the church daily such as should be saved. By Peter's one message, there was about 3,000 saved. And there were, before long, there were thousands of people. As is written, rejoice thou barren that beareth not, break forth and cry thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Well, whose promise? Well, it ain't yours. It's God's promise. So it's sure. If you believe this gospel, if you rest on Jesus Christ alone for all salvation, and don't look at your miserable self for what you are, just rest in the Lord Jesus, then you can believe this promise. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise, but as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuteth him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now, and so it is today. Why, if I believe what you believe, why, I just sin all I want to. And your God's unfair. Well, that's all they know. That's all they know. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now, God in the covenant of grace chose the people to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. That's just all there is to it. And at the time appointed, God sends forth the Holy Spirit. And he does not invite folks. He calls them with a holy call. He gathers his people together. And he does it by working secretly, powerfully, effectually in their heart to cause them to close with and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To them, it's the only thing that makes sense. Paul didn't say, but I'm bound to thank you always. Because God had chosen you. He said, I'm bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. If the Arminian story was right, and if salvation were a cooperative effort, then man would get some of the glory. There'd be some place for boasting. But by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at Titus chapter 3. And we'll begin reading at verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. to obey magistrates and to be ready to every good work. As far as you can, and not disobey the laws of God. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared in our Lord Jesus Christ. Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His own mercy and grace He saved us. Now there is the wonder that God saved any of our race. If we had got justice, there would have been no mercy afforded to us whatsoever. We'd been kept under chains of darkness, reserved unto the judgment of the great day, as the angels that kept not their first estate, but fell. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Not of works, not of us, not of any good thing in us, because there is nothing good about us, but according to the purpose of God. Amen.